Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And Jennifer, I cannot be more excited about this conversation we're going to have today in terms of moving forward with none other than, I want to say, the Allie McGuire. So what can you tell me about who Allie McGuire is?
At the age of 41, Allie was diagnosed with MS, but that's such a small part of her story because Allie is an award-winning speaker, media producer, and the visionary co-founder of Aware Now Media. She is the editor-in-chief of Aware Now magazine with over 8 million monthly readers and a global audience invested in advocacy and impact. Her groundbreaking keynote presentation, Because I Can, is also the foundation of a documentary by the same name, currently in production with Emmy Award-winning director Bill McCullough in support of the National MS Society. Allie is the proud recipient of the National MS Society's 2025 Jody Burton Slowens Impact Award and was selected as a 2025 National MS Society Public Policy Conference Advocate. And so, see what I said? There's so much more than
There's so much more than 41 years old.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Allie.
It's my pleasure. I am just honored to be on the line with the two of you who are just veterans in advocacy in our community and just proud to even know you, let alone share a conversation with you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're too kind because just everything that you do and have done is just, I don't want to say miraculous, but it's just so monumental. I think that's a whole thing. You know, you're diagnosed at 41 years old, and this is where you are, and how much you have done in the last, 2 years?
I was going to say
last 10 years, but yeah, I mean, just that, I mean, all of that. So I think that's where, I guess before we really get into the big, why you're here, or like get things going, but why do this? I mean, at what point when 41 years old and you're like, I'm going to do this, and let's think about Aware Now Media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that you go through life and, you know, you can get to a point where you just say, when we look at the whys, why am I doing this? I think the answer to that question came from another question that I had, which is, why is it not enough? It didn't matter the titles I held, the salaries I got, all the things. It was never enough at the end of the day. And so when I met my husband, Jack, he was asking the same kind of questions. Why is everything I've ever accomplished never enough? And we thought about that and explored that. And we realized at the end of the day, who was winning? Like we were.
Yeah.
No one else was, right? So it's, we realized that our lives and our wins, we were the only ones to put the, you know, check the win box. And so we decided we needed to do something different. And so we walked away from the careers that we knew and that we had and that we worked so long to build. And then we said, let's build something different. And so we said, let's find a way to be of service. Well, what do we both know how to do? We can tell stories. Well, let's do that. So that's where Aware Now started, to raise awareness for causes through storytelling.
That is beautiful and brave. And Dan asked the question, and I'll ask you, Allie. Which came first, multiple sclerosis or Aware Now?
Aware Now. And it's really funny because, you know, when we first started in, we were telling people about this idea, this platform dedicated to storytelling for causes. People are like, okay, pick a lane and stay in it. What cause is going to be 1, 2, 3? You can't pick all the causes. And we said, well, yeah, we can. And we thought that's what was needed, right? Because we get so siloed in our own causes, our own careers, our own politics, our own faiths, that we forget that there's one cause that connects us all, which is the human cause. And so we thought, if we can find a way to harness that, if we can use storytelling to harness that, maybe that's the way that we can find our way back to each other, right? Because we're so disconnected, we're so siloed. And we said, maybe through storytelling, we can find our way back.
Wow. And it's beautiful and so inspiring and just so complete. And that I'm sitting here and you can tell I'm at a loss for words, because there's, it covers everything. And like you said, the humanity that's connects us. And that's what when you look at the gorgeous photos and the beautiful storytelling, it really reassures you about humanity. And so I would encourage anyone listening to, and we will have a link, find out how you can get where you can read Aware Now Media magazine.
So I guess go ahead, Allie.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, because you just asked Jennifer about which came first. And so it was the MS diagnosis that came after we'd started all of this. And it was funny because of all the different causes that we have different ambassadors for different causes. At that point, we had ambassadors for all the causes except for MS. And then all of a sudden I get my diagnosis. And so it was one of those moments. Do you remember that Hair Club for Men commercial? It was like, I'm not just the president. Yes. I am a member.
Yes.
And all I got to say, I'm not just the founder. I'm an ambassador. You know, it was really wild, actually.
Well, that was going to be my question, Allie, was just like, okay, so you have Aware Now Media. You have all of these stories, all these causes, conditions, and things. And then what happens when you are diagnosed with MS? And I think I know that I've been with people who have been like caregivers for somebody who has MS, and then just, you know, they're diagnosed with MS. So it's just like, is that karma coming, or is that like, did that set the stage? So then for you, I mean, do you feel then you don't need another ambassador for MS with Aware Now Media? It's just like, I write the book on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the opposite. It makes me understand everyone I meet with MS, it's like a completely different story. We might as well have different diagnoses, because the journeys that we have, yes, there are so many, I get you, I feel you, and so many samesies, but there's also something that is unique to the journey, because it is so different. It presents so differently at different times in different ways. That I think the more ambassadors, the better. I think may I be the beginning. And we've already have a beautiful collection of ambassadors for MS who are just have become dear friends and have become family.
Yes. Yeah. And we often say that none of us wanted the disease, but now that we have it, that's one of the good things about it, is the incredible group of friends and community that you gain with this disease, that you're not alone. And that's why we encourage people to reach out and get involved, because the MS community is a welcoming place where we like each other.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's Damian Washington, who I know we're all a fan of.
Yes.
Huge fan.
One of my favorite quotes from him is, you know, that MS is a terrible way to meet wonderful people.
Absolutely.
And that has always stuck with me. It was so profound when he shared that. And I said, yes, because I've belonged to a lot of different communities for a lot of different reasons, but the MS community, there's something that's so special and so beautiful that it's such a gift, and one that I'm so thankful for, and what makes me all the more inspired to serve, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guess then, you know, thinking about the Aware Now Media and what you did and the storytelling before MS, and, you know, what you did as a storyteller and finding the people, I guess the question is, once you were diagnosed with MS, did that change or enhance how you told other people's stories with, you know, Aware Now Media. That is just like, I know what it's like to have that patient experience firsthand. Mm-hmm. Did that change then when you're talking to people with other conditions?
You know, I think, so here's what I will share, the story. I mean, what do we do when we're first diagnosed? Well, for me, I hopped online and did a search for MS and tried to find every community online I could find. And I found great people. And one of them, her name was Cecilia Baker. And she had beautiful pictures in her feed of her and her husband and her beautiful daughter, Delilah, who had dark hair and these big blue eyes and big glasses. And she was in a wheelchair. She was nonverbal. And I saw hashtag Rett syndrome whenever she would post about her. And so I hadn't heard of Rett syndrome, no idea what it was about. And so I did some research. It's a genetic disease that almost exclusively affects young girls, life expectancy, not long. I thought, wow, I've never heard of this. So I reached out to her and I said, hey, if you'd like to come on and share your story about MS, but I'm wondering about if you want to share this story about Rett syndrome, about your daughter. And she said, oh my gosh, I would love to. And we have told over 1,500 stories now. This interview, there was one question that I asked her specifically that I will never forget. And I think about every day. I asked her, I said, so Cecilia, what's the hardest thing about being Delilah's mother? And she said, when I wake up in the morning, I don't know that she will.
Wow.
So why is this story so important? Do I have Rett? No. Do any of Jack and I, our six kids, have Rett? No. You want to bet that story about Rett, which has nothing to do with me, didn't change my world. Because it did. Every morning I wake up, and we have one of our youngest, actually, who wakes up very early every morning. Mama! And, you know, it could be like where you're like, ugh. But I smile every time because he woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know other kids didn't. And so I guess to answer your question, I think had it not been for MS, I would have never known Cecilia. She would have never shared that story. I wouldn't have realized that what connects us isn't always so obvious. Sometimes it's the MS diagnosis that we share. Other times it's something completely different. And it is when we share our stories about one diagnosis, one cause or another, that we find connection. And so I guess for me, being diagnosed with MS and having that patient journey, it does make me more empathetic to not just people with MS, but people with any kind of condition, and to sit and give space for what they're about to share that might change your life.
Yeah, and it's that vulnerability I have found with MS. When people feel comfortable to tell you, you know, people with multiple sclerosis, they meet you and they will boom most times tell you their story. And
yeah.
I think that's wonderful. It's because we share this common disease, but it's that vulnerability, that openness that I would think if more people would feel comfortable and safe with that, it just changes the way you look at the world and see your fellow humans. So there is, you know, another upside to the disease is just, boy,
yeah,
the humanity again, kind of going back to. So yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like you're so profound with what you say and the things you articulate, and that's I mean, this is why we love hearing you. And I think that's where, you know, something that we've had the pleasure of advocating with you. I mean, we've advocated alongside you in Lansing, in Washington, D.C. And mm-hmm. something, you know, as we talk about the stories that have an impact, Jennifer and I have both lived with MS for, you know, over 25 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you had a story that totally had a huge impact on us that you tell and told to our congressmen, you know, senators, national. And I think that has a profound thing. And I would love if, you know, when you're talking about the stories about what you've encountered. What about, what about the Because I Can? Tell, you know, yeah. for everyone out there in listener land who haven't heard this story, I mean, that's so profound as to what that was. Because you used to be a runner, and that's just like, I feel that because I used to as well. And so that's, you know.
When I was diagnosed, it was, I lost vision in my right eye. So go to the emergency room. I told Jack, he's like, you should go to the emergency room. I'm like, maybe it's a migraine coming on. Maybe that's, it's a visual thing. It'll be fine. He's like, yeah, no, go to the emergency room. Emergency room is like, let's send you to the ophthalmologist to figure out what's going on there. Let's start there. Go to the ophthalmologist. Ophthalmologist says your vision's, your eyes are great. There's nothing wrong with them. I was like, but I can't see. So go back to emergency room with the prognosis of multiple sclerosis. And so didn't take long for the MRI to show what was going on in the lesions on my brain and on my spine. And, with that diagnosis came, MS was not unfamiliar to me. My sister had lived with MS for over 20 years. So it wasn't like this foreign, what is this? How do I pronounce this? What does it mean? I knew what it was, but to know what something is and then to have what that something is very, very different, of course. All right. And so, with the loss of vision, with the balance, with the fatigue, all the things, I said, running, it's not for me anymore. And so I stopped, and it actually was not until last year. I turned 45 last year, and my friend since the age of 3, Angie, she called me, happy birthday, thank you. And I've this thought, I want to run the Philadelphia Marathon in November, and I want to do it in your honor. I want to do it to raise awareness for MS. And it's one hell of a birthday present.
No kidding.
So I sat with that for a moment. After I wiped away all the tears, I said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But why? And she just said, because I can. And so I sat with that for a bit after we got off the phone and went to the website for the Philadelphia Marathon. Marathon? Heck no. A half marathon? Forget about it. But then I saw there was an 8K. So quick math, what's that? 5 miles. Okay. And so I wondered, I was like, is that something I could do? Like, what can I do? I started to wonder, what can I do? I knew there were things I couldn't do, but what could I do? And so that day, I put back on my running shoes for the first time since my diagnosis. And I started training. And I went, and she and I, we went to Philadelphia. She ran her marathon. I ran my 8K. Can't tell you how it ended. It will ruin the film. But what I will say is that it was those three words that made me see my diagnosis in my life and what was possible, totally different. And not to look at all the things I couldn't do, but to explore what I could. And Because I Can, it started with that phone call, which then led into me doing this race, which then led to, well, hey, let's film this. And so we end up filming it, getting a whole crew there, and got some beautiful footage and some beautiful moments that quickly became memories. I won't never forget. But because I knew and I understood that MS presents so differently in different people, I said, for this story to really resonate, for it to really ring true, it couldn't just be my story. It had to be other stories as well. And so what I ended up doing is, okay, how can I do this? Because we already had this plan. Okay, this is going to be the story. This is going to be the thing. And I said, but we all know before you run, you have to walk. So I said, why don't I go ahead and I take a walk with a few other folks who have MS and pull their stories into my story. And so, Nicole Pedra, I walked with her in LA and heard her story. I walked with the artist from Paris and New York who just happened to be in San Francisco, walked with him, heard his story. And our very own Fox Rigney here in Michigan, disability rights advocate for the whole MS community. I walked with Fox and heard his story. And so it was a beautiful, you have four different people, one diagnosis. So very different stories, very different journeys. And here they all came together with this conversation about because I can.
Yes, so. that is beautiful. And what an interesting and powerful way to share other people's stories, to share your own, to get the word out and raise awareness. I just, if you don't mind, kind of want to go back. I heard something kind of slipped in with your story. Did you say that your sister is also living with multiple sclerosis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's been battling it for over two decades. And so it used to be me who was going and visiting her at the hospital when she was having flare-ups or she had optic neuritis, these kinds of things. And we've always been connected. We're sisters, but now we're connected a little bit more.
Yes. And was that something, I'm thinking, because we on the podcast, it's interesting, we've talked about MS and the family and genetics and heredity and all of that. Is that something you were afraid of developing MS, or were you always kind of looking over your shoulder, like, is it coming to get me?
I didn't at all. And so I was a bit blindsided by it when I was diagnosed. I said, oh, well, okay. I didn't even give it a thought. I never thought it could be me too. I just thought, oh my goodness, my poor sister. How can I support her? I never thought it is something that would affect me as well.
Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's just something I heard that. And I really, you know, we have members of our support group that have siblings and so I realized that, and that was, thank you again for sharing.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, I do want to, so because I can, you talk documentary, where's that at? When is the big reveal and debut?
Well, that is what we are working on, because it is not inexpensive to produce a documentary.
I was going to say.
Yeah. It takes some time, but we're about halfway there with our fundraising. And so at this point in time, we thought, well, what can we do to bring in the rest of the funding needed? But not only bring in the rest of the funding, but bring in the community where they can be part of this journey, because it's a pretty epic journey that I've been on. I said, how can I share this with everyone else? And so the thought was, why don't we invite the community to be part of the story? And so that's why we created the Because I Can virtual 5K. What we're doing with that is we want to make this the world's largest virtual 5K for MS. So what we are the invitation is that do a 5K with me. You may run it, you may jog it, you may walk it, you may roll it, you may bike it, you may drive it, whatever you want to do. Go the distance. My friend is going to ride her horse. I'm like, okay, you want to do?
Nice.
Someone said, can I do cartwheels? I was like, cartwheel it out. Go ahead. So it's like everyone's sort of just taking this challenge, because we want it to be all people, all locations, all abilities, and just all of us together to be part of this and to do this together. And so that's the what we put out into the universe. We've just started to promote it and push it. But we're going to be doing this throughout this month, October, and then into November, all through November, just inviting people to do what you can because you can. And some can run and some cannot. And some can roll and some cannot. Some people can just show up and support.
You and I and Jennifer have talked about wanting to chat with you for the podcast, but I mean, this was really what drove us. Is like, we need Allie on now, because we will have information in the liner notes for this episode to let everyone out there know how you can register, how you can be a part of the Because I Can. And this, I mean, virtual 5, you didn't even like make this like here in Michigan 5K. It wasn't even like US. I mean, dude, you opened it up to the whole world. How ambitious do you really want to be, Allie?
I guess very. I wasn't really thinking about it first. Like, why don't we just make it the world's largest? Let's just do that. And, you know, because why not? Why? Well, why not? And, you know, so it's been great. We've had people in Paris, people in New Zealand, people like hearing about it and submitting their I Run with Allie because I can. And so it's been this like tremendous support to be part of this. And it's never been done before. So why not do it? And what we're doing is everyone who registers, their name goes in the credits of the film. They get a really cool medal I designed, and just to really feel part of it, because I think that gets back to the core of it, right? I think with MS, in conditions like MS, there's this degree of isolation and feeling like you're alone in it and feeling like people can't relate, they won't understand. And so that's what this is about. It's like, just let's all do this together. And and just imagine what's possible. What we're going to do when the film is done, we've been speaking with the National MS Society, and we'll be working with the chapters to bring the film next March for MS Awareness Month. We want to begin the national tour here in the States, where we'll go and take the film around community by community across the country to be able to not only, here's a film, sit and watch it, but to go and to engage and have conversation to neurologists who are local there, to people who live with MS who want to share these stories. Let's have a conversation, right? And just create, not just educate, but to empower, to elevate, and the biggest thing, just to engage people. Mm-hmm. To say, you don't have to carry this alone. You never have had to do that, and you never have to moving forward, that there are people who are here, and you are not alone. I refuse to let that be the truth of that.
So. Yes, and that's powerful, and just something people shouldn't have to be alone. And in multiple sclerosis is not a dirty little secret. Allie, I remember back when I was diagnosed in 1997, and people kept it quiet. They didn't tell anyone. Like, it was something that they did to cause the disease. And I love this knowledge that we want everyone to celebrate it and to recognize it and to not keep it to themselves or feel alone, feel isolated. So this is wonderful.
How do you find the energy to do all of this, Allie? I'm thinking, like, you know, because when we talk about multiple sclerosis, and one of the biggest symptoms is fatigue. And you, essentially have the, I don't want to say the workload, but I mean, you basically are doing like two full-time jobs just with living with MS and Aware Now Media, and let's do a documentary and invite the world.
And did I hear six children as well?
And six children, and being a mother and doing this. How much coffee do you drink?
I mean, the thing of it is that, so to be in fairness with the, so three of the kids are out into the world and old enough to be, you know, doing their own thing. So, but, so fatigue, it's a thing. And, I had a good reminder. Someone sent me today who knew I was struggling a little bit yesterday, to say that, you know, whatever you can do today is enough. And if you didn't get all your to-dos done, they will be there tomorrow to do. And it doesn't have to be today. And that's been the hardest pill to swallow for me on my MS journey, because I have known no other speed than fast. And when this condition has slowed me to an uncomfortable pace at times, that's really been the hardest. So how do I do all this? Some days I don't. And I cry. And I doubt. And cry some more, because so much I want to do and I can't. And it's not even the fatigue sometimes. I mean, that is hard, but the mental side of things, the fog. Yesterday, I will share, I was like, oh, I think, no, this is not a normal thing. I experienced a degree of brain fog. I said, something's broken. This isn't like, I can't, I don't know. And so I reached out to another fellow MS warrior. And I said, hey, I've not been here before. This is a new space for me. And said, it's okay. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't make sense. And it won't. And it can't. But just know that you're not alone. And know that this is a thing. This is part of it. But it's not all of it. And you'll get through it. This won't last forever. This is for now, but not for always. And I cannot tell you what that meant. It meant everything. And it helped me to give myself grace, right? Because I think that's the most important thing with a diagnosis like this, is that you have to, it's so easy, right? To give other people grace, all day long. Yeah,
absolutely.
But yourself, oof, for me, that's been the hard part. And to say, I can't always, and that's okay that I can't right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Yeah.
Especially when you say it, I can't right now. Just maybe in this moment I can't, but I will come back and I will complete. And even if I don't, but I'm not giving up on that. You know, I haven't walked in 23 years, Allie, but I will walk again. You know, I can't give up on that. And so I'm right there with you that you just have to keep the hope and keep the faith and know that you have this community of people that are champions for you. And yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, right. It's just that, and that's the word, you said it right there, Jennifer. It's hope, because sometimes it's all you have.
Yes.
There is nothing more. So you have to hold on to that. If you can hold on to nothing else, at least that's not something that someone, I mean, MS can take a lot from you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. But that's the one thing you can refuse to let go of.
Is hope. Absolutely.
And looking at, I mean, where we are right now, and as we're talking about, you've got a documentary you're working on. You're working on the world's largest virtual 5K. You have like, a magazine that reaches 8 million readers a month, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, so when you were diagnosed at age 41 and now like what, 4 or 5 years later, when you were diagnosed, did you envision that this is where you would be? And if so, would that overwhelm you? I mean, because you've done so much. Or is it like a snowball and one thing leads to another and then like, let's just go for broke?
That's been Jack and I, on more than one occasion, they say, well, bet the farm. Like, we definitely have, like literally, figuratively, bet our house for sure. I think the diagnosis just kind of said, well, made me dare myself a bit more. It made me, when Jack and I first got started, it was all, I would say to him, this very passionate person, say, Jack, like, what would you bleed for? What would you die for? I would die for this. I would bleed. And he's like, you're asking the wrong question. It's like, what would you live for? Because that's harder sometimes. And I think when I got my diagnosis, I flipped my script a little bit and I started to think more aligned to what Jack had referenced. Like, what would I live for? Because you just realize there's so much I took advantage for. Like, I didn't appreciate,
You totally take for granted. Is that kind of
totally, 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 yes. Took so much for granted. And now I'm like, well, now that I can do this, knowing that tomorrow I might not be able to do this. Next year I might not be, but for right now I can. So what will I do? And I think it's really just, it lit a fire. I mean, there was like a pilot light. It just kind of like reignited, like, okay, let's go, you know?
Yeah. That's a wonderful way to kind of turn your diagnosis on its side or turn it upside down and say, okay, let's go. And that's kind of an attitude that my husband has, like, so you're doing this, bring it. And I think that's wonderful. It's so good and so inspiring and encouraging to hear.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's like, again, it just goes back to the, when you feel like you don't have anything, you have hope and that's on you. And that's sort of, I think, the empowering thing, like no one can touch that. MS cannot have that. Sorry, MS. Nope, not yours.
Nope.
Mine.
No, that is.
Right?
You can have my myelin. You can do that, but you can't take my hope. So.
Yeah. It's important.
So as far as like any kind, I mean, what you've been doing to this point, I mean, has it been humbling? Has it been frustrating? I mean, just like the number of people who are like right behind you are jumping on board. I mean, because like you say, there's people from New Zealand everywhere. Did you envision it would get this big and you'd have this kind of success with it?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect. And I think that's something I've learned along the way too. It's to not be tethered to the outcome and just like obsessed about the steps and obsessed about the journey, but not in how it ends. Because there have been times where I've been so frustrated, where it's like, it's not happening fast enough. It's not happening soon enough. And having to let go of the fact that, oh, it's not on my time. It's not on my watch. Like, I think that's the universe just saying, no, not about when you want it, about when I need it to happen. I'm like, man, just hurry it up, though.
So, absolutely. Totally.
I don't think I ever would have imagined that. What gives me the reassurance, though, about that things that we're going the right way, we're doing the right things is, yes, when there's all this incredible response from around the world, but also it's just the individual stories and about people say, hey, I had a note written. I was going to be done. And I read this story that was published, It's like, it saved my life. I'm still here. I decided not to go through these kinds of things that we get, these people reaching out to say, you saved my life. This story saved my life. And I think that's a beautiful thing, right? About the two of you, about me, about Annie and every person that's listening. We all have a story to share that someone needs to hear. And how dare us deprive them of that? And so I think it's been just a power, the response we've received has been so powerful and such a great reminder that all of us are here with the story to share that needs to be told. And that's been humbling and that's been everything.
That's wonderful and powerful. It means so much just because we all do have a story and we all play a part in this puzzle that is life and the interconnectedness. Yeah. So it's beautiful, Allie. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
My pleasure. Just,
yes.
Wow. Anything else? I mean, because I want to just double check, but I do think just for everyone out there, we will have links in the liner notes for how you can participate in the Because I Can. You read about, learn about Aware Now magazine so that you can subscribe, you can do this, participate, be part of these stories. Anything else, Allie, as we sit here talking? I mean, again, we can talk for hours, but it's just anything else that we need to know or that you wanted to share or talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like what we've shared has been so beautiful this far. And I just really appreciate the opportunity and the time to share. And I guess that what I would say is just to know, again, that every story matters. Every story needs to be heard. And there's such an incredible, what a gift, right?
Absolutely.
What a gift these stories are. I feel like I've lived, again, I said we've told over like 1,500 stories so far doing this, and I feel like I've lived 1,500 lives. What a gift to be able to step into someone else's life via the story they share and see the world through a different lens and look at things. Your life becomes richer and deeper. And with every story that's heard and shared. And so I guess that's the one thing I would leave people with, is to stay curious about the stories that surround you, because there's so much to be gained and so much to be shared that all of us, I think if there's hope for humanity, which I have hope that there is,
absolutely,
that it is through storytelling that we can find our way back to each other. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, whether it's MS that's your hill that you're running up, or breast cancer, or diabetes, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, we're all running up a hill of some kind. There's something that we cannot outrun, but we can only run with.
Yes.
And once we accept that and we embrace that, it's easier to breathe, I think.
Yeah.
So much easier.
That is beautiful, and I look forward to Dan and I participating in our own 5K.
Yay!
Absolutely. I'm hanging. When we're done with this conversation, I'm going to register us both, and just because I want that medal. I'm honest, and it sounds silly potentially. I mean, you know that it's more than this, but I want my bling. I want my medal, Allie. Especially when I know that you've designed it. That's beautiful. And that will be something special. So thank you. And it's been wonderful talking with you, and I know I speak for Dan. We both look forward to advocating with you, and you're just such a powerhouse. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I just adore the both of you so much, and I look forward as well. We're just at the beginning.
Yes.
We are. We have so much advocating to do. We've got a lot of work ahead of us.
A ton of work.
Excited. Yeah. So excited to do it with you.
Yay, likewise.
Very nice. Well, Allie, thank you again for taking the time to chat with us. And until next time, everyone, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter at coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.